Psalm 121 explained, Where does my help come from? Psalm 121 is often read before a trip, beside a hospital bed, or in the uneasy hours when sleep will not come. Its opening question meets us there. From where does my help come? Yet the psalm offers more than a comforting sentence detached from life. It gives anxious people a way to look honestly at danger and then locate their confidence in the character of God. To understand Psalm 121, we need to hear its movement. A traveler looks up, names the need for help, and confesses that help comes from the Lord. Then another voice answers with a sustained blessing. The God of Israel keeps watch over the traveler's whole life. This is neither denial nor a promise that faithful people will never suffer. It is a confession that danger, exhaustion, and uncertainty never place us outside God's attentive care. Psalm 121 at a glance. Psalm 121 belongs to Psalms 120 to 134, a collection titled The Songs of Ascents. The exact origin of that title is debated, but these songs are widely associated with going up to Jerusalem for worship. The Working Preacher Commentary by Rolf Jacobson describes Psalm 121 as a journey blessing and outlines its simple shape. Psalm 121, verses 1 to 2, a traveler's question and confession. Psalm 121, verses 3 to 8, a blessing spoken over the traveler. The USCCB notes on Psalm 121 likewise place the song in the setting of a dangerous journey, whether the traveler is a pilgrim returning from worship or someone leaving on another uncertain road. This background matters because the psalm's confidence is not abstract. It is spoken with vulnerable feet on an actual path. The poem also changes pronouns. In the first two verses, the speaker says I and my. In the remaining verses, the repeated words are you and your. Many interpreters therefore hear two voices, a traveler confessing faith and a priest, companion, or worshiping community responding with a blessing. Even if we cannot identify the speakers with certainty, the effect is beautiful. The believer's question is not left alone. Someone answers it with God's promises. I lift up my eyes to the hills, but the hills are not the helper. The opening line is sometimes heard as though the mountains themselves provide help. The Hebrew wording, however, is most naturally read as a question. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? The hills may be Jerusalem's welcoming heights, dangerous terrain, or simply the horizon a traveler scans. The text does not settle that image beyond dispute. What it does settle is the answer. Psalm 121, verses 1 to 2, directs trust beyond the hills to the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Help comes not from the landscape, but from its creator. The visible world may remind the traveler of God, but it cannot replace God. That distinction gives the psalm its strength. A hill can conceal a threat. A familiar road can change. Human support can be real and precious, yet still limited. The Lord is not one more uncertain feature within the traveler's environment. He is the maker of the whole environment. The same confession appears later in the Ascent collection. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, in Psalm 124, 8. This is not an invitation to ignore ordinary means of help. Scripture regularly treats wise counsel, neighbors, medicine, hospitality, and practical preparation as gifts. Psalm 121 instead asks where our final confidence rests. We receive created help gratefully while refusing to make any created thing bear the weight that belongs to the Creator. The key word is shamar. God keeps, guards, and watches. The central action in Psalm 121 is expressed by the Hebrew verb shamar. Depending on the translation, it appears as keep, guard, watch over, or preserve. The blue letter Bible entry for shamar shows its broad biblical range. Keeping watch, guarding a person, preserving life, paying careful attention, and observing what has been entrusted. Forms of this word occur 6 times in Psalm 121, 3-8. The repetition is the sermon of the psalm. Your keeper will not slumber. Israel's keeper does not sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord will keep you from evil. The Lord will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and coming in. The point is not merely that God occasionally intervenes. Keeping belongs to who God is. Human guards grow tired, attention wanders, and even loving caregivers must sleep. The keeper of Israel is never absent for the night shift. He who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. In Psalm 121, 3-4, is poetic assurance that divine attention has no gap. This theme reaches beyond one psalm. In Genesis 28:15, God promises the fleeing Jacob, "I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go." The traveler in Psalm 121 stands within that larger biblical story. God accompanies people on roads they did not choose toward futures they cannot yet see, shade by day and faithfulness by night. The Lord is called your shade at your right hand in Psalm 121, 5-6. In a hot landscape, shade is not decorative. It is shelter close enough to preserve life. At your right hand intensifies the nearness. God is not pictured as a distant observer, sending occasional reports. The image is of protection alongside the traveler. Then the poem names the sun by day and the moon by night. Together, day and night form a pair that covers the whole cycle of time. The psalm does not need to list every danger. Its paired images say, in effect, whatever the hour. The same expansive pattern appears in the final line, going out and coming in, now and forever. These are ordinary opposites that gather the whole of life between them. This is why Psalm 121 is fitting for more than dramatic emergencies. God's keeping includes departures and returns, work and rest, beginnings and endings. It speaks over the ambulance ride and the morning commute, the move to a new city, and the quiet walk home. No hour is spiritually insignificant, and no ordinary threshold lies outside God's concern. Does Psalm 121 promise that nothing painful will happen? No. Reading Psalm 121 as a guarantee of uninterrupted health or physical safety asks it to say what neither the psalm nor the rest of Scripture says. The Psalter itself contains wounds, persecution, grief, and the cry, "How long, Lord?" in Psalm 13:1. Faithful people suffer. Travelers sometimes do fall. Christians should never use Psalm 121 to blame an injured person for lacking faith. The promise is deeper than a charm against hardship. The Working Preacher Commentary explicitly cautions that the blessing does not mean those who trust God will experience no harm. Instead, the poem identifies God's characteristic work and invites us to live within His faithful care. Readers across Christian traditions sometimes emphasize different dimensions of "the Lord will keep you from all evil" in Psalm 121, 7-8. Some stress God's providential protection in this life. Others stress preservation of the believer's faith and final life with God. Many hold both together. We pray boldly for present protection while trusting that suffering and death cannot have the final word. These emphases need not be forced into competition. For Christians, Jesus' prayer in John 17:15 is an important companion. He does not ask that his disciples be taken out of the world, but that they be kept from the evil one. Likewise, Romans 8:35-39 names trouble, persecution, danger, and death without pretending they are unreal. Its confidence is that none of them can separate God's people from the love of God in Christ. Psalm 121 promises presence and preservation, not a pain-free route, a blessing meant to be received and spoken. The shift from "my help" to "the Lord will keep you" suggests that trust is practiced in community. Sometimes we can confess, "My help comes from the Lord." At other times, fear has thinned our words, and we need another person to say, "The Lord will keep you." Psalm 121 makes room for both voices. Its ending also echoes the shape of biblical blessing. Numbers 6:24-26 begins, "The Lord bless you and keep you," then asks for God's shining face, grace, and peace. Blessing is not positive thinking. It is the act of placing a real person with real vulnerability under the name and care of the Lord. That gives Psalm 121 practical uses before a journey. Read Psalm 121, verses 1-8 aloud. Name the specific risks you fear, make reasonable preparations, and entrust what you cannot control to the Maker of heaven and earth during anxiety. Slow down over the repeated word "keep." Instead of demanding certainty about every outcome, ask for enough grace to take the next faithful step under God's watch. When someone else is afraid, do not rush to explain their pain. Listen first. Then, with permission, speak the psalm's final blessing over them. May the Lord keep your going out and your coming in. Your presence can become one ordinary means of God's care at an ending or beginning. Pray the psalm when leaving home, starting work, entering treatment, welcoming a child, grieving a death, or beginning a new season. Going out and coming in is spacious enough for the thresholds that change us. A simple way to pray Psalm 121. You can turn the psalm into a four-part prayer. Look honestly. "Lord, I lift my eyes and see the road in front of me." Name the question. "Where will my help come from in this particular need?" Confess the source. "My help comes from you, Maker of heaven and earth." Receive the blessing. "Keep my life, my going out, and my coming in, now and forever." The full Hebrew text and parallel translations can be explored at Safaria's Psalm 121 page. Reading the whole poem is important. Its comfort comes from the accumulation of images and repeated assurances, not from isolating one line. The help Psalm 121 gives. Psalm 121 does not tell us that the road is harmless. It tells us that the road is not godless. The hills may still look uncertain, the heat may still be fierce, and the night may still feel long. Yet the one who made heaven and earth is neither surprised nor asleep. The psalm, therefore, forms a sturdy kind of hope. We can prepare without pretending to control everything. We can grieve without concluding that God has abandoned us. We can receive help through other people without confusing the gift with the giver. And when our own confidence falters, the community can speak the blessing we struggle to say for ourselves. Where does our help come from? Psalm 121 answers by naming not an escape route, but the Lord, Creator, Keeper, shade, and faithful companion. The journey remains real. So does his care. This article was written and narrated by Ezra, Feazin's editorial study assistant. Ezra is an AI.